history of the church. While you're looking, I want to thank those of you who came out and thank the city, thank my colleagues. Leave it up, Damon. Thank my colleagues and thank the city of Columbia for opening up Finley Park yesterday as we prayed for our city, prayed for our nation, prayed for our politicians, prayed for law enforcement, and also prayed for the protesters. It was a very spiritual movement to have some protesters who came out last night, not to protest, but to praise. Amen. And I want to especially thank my great friend Travis Green for having a little mini concert for us that we praised the Lord yesterday in the park. And this interdenominational ministerial alliance, we'll get together and we'll assist these protesters in reaching the aims and needs of our community. We are pressing the state legislature for a hate bill. We are only four states in the country that do not have hate bill, a hate law bill, you know, because a whole lot of violence and activities go on because of hate. There's a whole lot of hate in a lot of people's heart. And so those crimes are mitigated because we don't have a hate law bill. Also, even though there are laws on the books to have body cams, most police departments are underfunded. They can't purchase body cams for their officers. But more importantly, there's no accountability. There's no punishment. We saw in the Breonna Taylor case in Louisville that even though all the officers had body cams, none of them had cut them on. It's like having a TV and you ain't got it plugged into the electricity, amen? It's like having a gun with no bullets, all right? It's like having a paintbrush but no paint. So we've got to make sure there's some accountability, some legal accountability to make sure these officers are cutting on their body cameras. And we need mentoring programs. We need mentoring programs. My sister-in-law, my brother's wife is a family court judge, and many times she wants to send kids who are in trouble to mentoring programs, and it's a shame that none of our churches and none of our community organizations have serious mentoring organizations. And so we need mentors for our young black men, amen, you know, who need a father figure, number one, but who also need some guidance. Most of them do not want to be in the streets. They're in the streets because they can't find family anyplace else. And so the church has got to step up, amen? The church has got to step up and be the void and step in the gap for those young men who need serious guidance. The book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. The King James Version of our Bible says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Let's read that one more time. I will stand. This is Habakkuk the prophet saying, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what we will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak, and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that read it. Habakkuk hears the Lord telling him to write the vision and make it plain. This Sunday morning, in the midst of this pandemic, in the midst of this protest, I want to give you a vision of victory. I want to give you this Sunday morning a vision of victory. My brothers and my sisters, I wish I could give you a biographical background of Habakkuk. Like Jeremiah, like Hezekiah, like Malachi, like John the Baptist. We have historical data to tell us about their lives and where they're from and how they came into existence and who their parents are and where they came from and any type of real light education that they had. But with Habakkuk, we don't know anything about Habakkuk. We do know he prophesies in or within the 7th century B.C., and we know that Nebuchadnezzar was king of the Chaldeans, and which become the Babylonians. And so we know kind of the time frame in which he prophesies. We know that the people of Israel and the children of God are in trouble. They're in trouble. And it's very interesting that in chapter 1, you need to read all of chapter 1 sometime today. You will see in chapter 1 that he cries out to the Lord. And he says, we are suffering and there's violence all around us. He says, Lord, we are suffering and there's violence all around us. Habakkuk is speaking to us today. Because truly, if you cut on your news, no matter what time you cut on your news, no matter what time you look at Facebook, you don't know what time you look at Instagram or Twitter, you will see that we are suffering. Can I get a witness? And there is violence all around us. He then asked the Lord, hey man, why do you allow all this to happen? And then he goes on and says, God, number one, why do you allow all this to happen? And then God, why do you even let me have to see all the trouble and destruction? I know a lot of people who don't even watch the news. You don't watch the news because you don't want to see all this violence and destruction. There's not enough good news. The first 10 minutes is always violence and destruction. Before they can even get to the weather, it's always not well and not going good on in society. And so Habakkuk raises the same question that many of us ask. I mean, why do we have to see, Lord, all this trouble and destruction? And he says that the law is powerless and justice never goes forth. The law. Look what Habakkuk writes in the 7th century before Christ and liken it today in the 21st century. He says that the law is powerless and justice does not go forth. The law has not been able to abate the protesters, the rioters, and the looters. And I don't stand in judgment of any of us, especially when you think about the fact that Europeans looted this entire country. You ask any Native American, and I'm sure they're shocked at these people calling these protesters looters when they stole all their land, stole everything they had. This whole country began, come on somebody, this whole country began because some people came over on ships and looted and stole everything. Now, I wish I was one of them protesters who was in Phipps Plaza when they went into Gucci and the Prada store. I mean, I don't know why y'all looting Popeyes. I mean, them people who went to Lennox and Phipps went to them the people who got. That's the people I want to protest. What y'all looting Popeyes for? Let me stop. Got off subject. God bless your heart. But he said there's no law and justice does not prevail. And we know since the time that our people have been here since 1619, there have been two sets of laws, there have been two sets of justice, that the scales of justice are not in our favor. Watch what Habakkuk is saying and how it relates to us now in 2020. The same thing that Habakkuk was concerned about are the same things we're concerned about now in 2020. Habakkuk says, for the wicked are everywhere and perverse judgments proceeds. But after displaying and venting, the Lord answers. After Habakkuk tells God everything God already knew, help me somebody. After Habakkuk tells God everything God already knew. And my brothers and my sisters, you've got to understand that the murder of Ahmaud, the murder of Breonna, the murder of George Floyd have not happened in a historical vacuum. Also understand that one of the reasons, and I hate that they have lost their lives, our heart goes on to their families, but if we had not been in this pandemic, if we had not been in their wilderness, the protest movement and the fervency of the protest movement and the support of our non-African American brothers and sisters would not be as intense as it is. God knows what he is doing. God knows what he is doing. And their deaths will not go in vain. Because we're in this pandemic, people are already upset. People are already mad. And then their home ain't got nothing else to do. Come on, help me somebody. God knows what he's doing. If we had been working, if we had been vacationing, ain't nobody be out protesting and doing what we're doing right now and singing Kumbaya and coming together, because we would have been going on about our normal routine. But we don't have a normal routine. So God says, I'm going to give them an opportunity. I'm going to create an environment where everybody will be able to come together. You ain't got to be to work. You ain't got to clock in. You ain't got to even worry about your job. The police got too much other stuff to be worried about. They can't do nothing to you. Know how. Help me somebody preach God's word. So he gives us this opportunity. God says, I know what you're going through. And then God tells Habakkuk, for I will work a work in your days that you won't even believe, even if I tell you now. That thing done bless me, Gail. God says, Habakkuk, I'm about to do something that's going to blow your mind. And Habakkuk, I can't even give you a hint of it right now, because it will blow your mind, Habakkuk, and you will stop working. You will stop praying. You will stop even believing, because you won't believe what's about to happen. And that's where I stand right now, church, believing that because of these protests, because of this rioting, and as you see, unlike the 60s, when you saw in the 60s, you saw maybe one or two white clergymen walking with Dr. King. You didn't see the masses of young Caucasians and Hispanics and Asians and other diverse groups. It was all black folk and maybe one or two preachers who protested. Now, the whites outnumbered the blacks in these protests. And I know we got some of these boogaloo, and that's the craziest thing in the world. These boogaloo boys with the Hawaiian shirts on. I know they're the ones who are really doing the looting and really doing all the crime. So we got to be careful, and I'm glad that now society knows it just ain't us. Because they blame us on everything. And I know I'm the person to a diverse congregation, but I just got to tell the truth like it is. You know. And so God says, I am about to do something that's about to blow your mind. God, my brothers and my sisters, is up to something. I don't know if you got a neighbor, but say, I'm not that type of preacher, but and I know you might not, but just put it in the atmosphere. Put it in the atmosphere that God is up to something. Anybody believe that God is up to something? God is up to something. God is about to do something that's about to blow our minds. He says, for yes, you're right, Habakkuk. Your enemies are rising up against you. He says, they are terrible and they are dreadful. But then the Lord tells him, your enemies' judgments, though, are based on their egos. He says, the reason why your enemies are doing you the way they are doing you and treating you like you're not a child of God and doing harm to your people is because of their egos. It's not about us. It's about I. When you've got to clear out protesters with tear gas and rubber bullets so you can take a photo op in front of a church you ain't never stepped foot in to appeal to a Christian base that obviously sometimes is not reading the same Bible that I am reading. It is about your ego. When you go to a Catholic shrine and your wife don't even want to hold your hand and you got to tell her, smile, baby. She ain't smiling because she with you. It's all about your ego. And God, my brothers and my sisters, is up to something. And we got to make sure we mobilize this November and make sure that God puts some egos in check and send that ego back to his penthouse in New York City. Yes, he says they are powerful and they have powerful tools at their disposal. I want to call out the military. Call out the military when we got real issues, real wars, and real enemies. armies across the lands and across the country. You want to pull out the military and create a police state just because you are unhappy that people are protesting in front of a house you don't even pay for? And God knows, let's pause and give our sister who's the mayor of Washington, D.C., who painted the streets and changed the name. Now he lives on Black Lives Matter Plaza. Come on, y'all, give it up for her. Give it up. That's a strong sister. I like that sister. That sister said, you got to now live on Black Lives Matter Plaza, and every time you go to public housing, because you do know he live in public housing, every time you got to go to public housing, you got to see that black lives do matter. And let me pause for station identification and let people know that when we say Black Lives Matter, we are saying all lives matter. Because until Black Lives Matter, all lives cannot matter. You cannot put the cart in front of the hearse. In front of the hearse. Listen to me. But I'm messed up. In front of the horse. You cannot put the cart in front of the horse. Because if black lives don't matter, then all lives don't matter. And until you respect black lives, then we can't say all lives matter. God says you got to get your ego in check. Yes, they are powerful, and they have powerful tools at their disposal. He says, because of their power, they do gather their captives and they heap the treasure for their own purposes. They heap up treasure, stocks and bonds. And that's how he wants to think that society is doing well, that when the stock market goes up, not knowing that ain't none of us got no stocks and no bonds. We're just trying to make ends meet. We ain't got time to be invested in the stock market. That's your friends. But watch this. He says, then the enemy's mind changes and he transgresses and he commits an offense and he ascribes it to his God. And in the text, that God is a lowercase g. Watch what's about to happen. You've heard it here first. They're going to make a mistake. They've been making some mistakes, Hazel. And they're going to ascribe it to their God, which is in lower case, because their ego has made themselves a God. Their ego has made themselves into a lowercase deity. And they cannot understand they're wrong. They cannot understand the weapons of their warfare. They cannot understand it because they think they're just as powerful as our God. But they're not as powerful as our God. And then the prophet says, okay, God, I hear you, but you are all powerful. Listen to what Habakkuk says to God. God is having this conversation to God. He says, yes, I hear you saying our enemies are powerful. I hear you saying they've got big egos. I hear you saying they've got tanks and got military men at their disposal. But God, you're more powerful than that. So why are you letting this happen? You have all power. So God, what is the purpose in all this? That's a great question for all of us to ask our God, and God will give us an answer, because Habakkuk wants to know, what is the purpose in all this? If you've got all power, why are you letting that limited power hurt and harm us? Are these trying times, he asked, for judgment? God, are you correcting us? God, how can you see all this suffering and not be moved? Again, why do you allow our enemies to capture us and to continue to kill us without pity? Please, my brothers and my sisters, read Habakkuk chapter 1 today. And everything Habakkuk talked about in the 7th century B.C. is the same thing that's happened in the 21st century A.D. Why do you allow this to happen, God? Why are they killing our men and women on the streets of America and have no pity? When they're telling you the man cannot breathe, you have no pity. When you see his life go lifeless, you have no pity. When he is crying for his mama and you know, well, you don't know because you ain't African American, but every African American knows that's when we tap out. When a black man when strong calls for their mama, you know it's something serious. And so when you have no pity and you have no God consciousness,
Jesus says, God, you're too loving, you're too kind. How can you allow this wickedness to happen? And then Habakkuk says in the beginning of chapter 2, okay, God, I hear you. I trust you, God. So let me tell you what I'm going to do, God, because I have faith in you. I'm going to stand my watch. I'm going to stay on the watchtower. I'm not going to run. I'm not going to doubt you. I'm not going to leave my post. I'm not going AWOL. I'm going to stand firm. I'm going to watch. And I'm going to wait. Let me tell you right now, that's the only thing we can do right now. For those of us who trust God and believe God, only thing we got to do right now is watch and wait. I wish I had enough time to stay right there, but we've got to watch and wait. We've got to watch and wait. Watch God and wait on our victory. Watch God and wait on our victory, because anybody know that the victory is coming and the victory is ours. But then the God says, watch this. Habakkuk says, you know, I'm going to watch and wait. God says, don't just watch and wait. He says, don't be lazy. Just don't think it's going to happen automatically. God then gives Habakkuk a directive. And the directive is, write the vision. Come on, church folk. He says, just don't sit back and watch the television. Just don't sit back in your lazy boy chair and watch what's going on outside. He says, I need you to do something. See, one of the things we got to say, these things go out not but by prayer and fasting. Yeah, yeah. Prayer is the metaphysical, but fasting is the physical. Come on, Ashley. Prayer is the metaphysical. That's in the atmosphere. But he said, also coupled with prayer, you got to do some fasting. That's some action. And so all of our praying is good, but without any action, all of it is in vain. Because faith without works is dead. So God said, you just can't sit down and go to church and get on your knees and pray. You got to get up and get to work. And he says, write the vision and make it plain. He says, call them up and tell me what you want. But not only call me up and tell me what you want, but he says, encourage the people and let the people know that I'm on the way. And I just stopped by 1203 Summit Parkway today. We might change the Black Lives Matter Parkway if we can. Y'all call somebody. But I just stopped by 1203 Summit Parkway today and come into your living rooms, come into your homes, come on your job, and let you know that we have to write the vision and make it plain. He says, give the people a vision of progress and prosperity and peace. Give the people a vision of progress, prosperity, and peace. Even though they're suffering right now, give the people a vision. Let them see that there will be progress, there will be prosperity, and there will be peace. He says, just don't sit there and wait, but encourage the people to get out in the streets and make a difference in our world, that he may run who reads it. He says, write it so big on the tablets that even if the runner is running, when he runs by, he'll see Black Lives Matter. He'll see we shall overcome. He will see this too shall pass. He will see that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. He will see that we can do all things through Christ. He will see that victory is mine, saith the Lord. Write the vision so big that even those who are not paying attention will be forced to pay attention. That's what's going on right now in 2020 in these streets. Those who had no consciousness. On yesterday, I spent 2 hours on the phone with one of my friends from high school who's a person of non-color, who's a white man who lives up in the upstate of South Carolina, which is one of the most racist areas of the country. I won't call where he lives, but for 2 hours we spent on the phone. We have not talked to him since high school, and he wanted to know, Chris, what can I do? What can our people do? What can we do? What? And I said, you're doing it already by having a God consciousness, by understanding now what African Americans have been going through, what Colin Kaepernick had been trying to tell y'all years ago, what been going on, but you were so blinded by your money, you were so blinded by your fan base. Now you won't get it. Because we have written the vision so large that even the runner would see it. But then Habakkuk gives three words to the preacher, to the prophet. First of all, he tells the preacher, you cannot make anyone else see what he does not see for himself. He tells the preacher, you cannot make anyone else see what he does not see for himself. And one of the reasons why we galvanized and got all those preachers of different denominations and different colors and different cultures together to make sure that we, the faith community, are all in one place and all on one accord. When Dr. King wrote that letter from a Birmingham jail, you know, he's writing in the response to white preachers that said that the church had no business in protesting, that the church had no business in civic affairs. The only thing the church was supposed to do is to prevent salvation, will provide an opportunity to salvation so that you can have heaven and go to heaven. And Dr. King says, you know, sometimes, hey, you know, I really want to have got to filter something out, Gail. I had to filter that thing out, what I really wanted to say right now. He said, we need some golden streets and some shoes down here. We just can't wait to get to heaven. We need justice and prosperity and peace down here before we get to heaven. And he said, the prophet said, the preacher has to believe before he can make the people believe. The preacher has to make the people believe. And if the people then believe it, like I told my brother yesterday on the phone, you're going to be in some circles. You're going to be in some areas and some circles at some events where persons who do not understand the African-American culture, who are basing their lives on stereotypes, who are racist, who are bigots, who are homophobia, when they start popping off at the mouth, first thing you do is correct them. You got to believe in the cause, because injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. And then Habakkuk tells the preacher, second of all, the preacher must do what he can to make the word of God known and make it plain. He says the preacher must make the word of God known and make it plain. Every now and then, just, and I hope I might be guilty of this sometimes, but I hope I break it down enough. You know, sometimes we just make this thing too complicated. Not just with rules and regulations, but using big old words and big old seminary terms and stuff just to impress you, and coming here talking in Greek and talking in Hebrew. Some of us don't even understand English. And he says, you've got to preach this word and make it plain. You got to remind yourself, as my mentor William Augustus Jones once said, you cannot preach to giraffes. You cannot just preach to giraffes. You got to also preach to the cow. You just can't be so high and lifted up and your words and your knowledge be so high that only the giraffe can get it. You got to preach down on pavement level so everybody understands what the word of God says, and not only how we get salvation, but also how we get victory after this. Third and finally, he says to the preacher, you got to make an impact and not just impress. For too much preaching is theatric and not theology. He says, you have got to make an impact. Thank you, Ron Biss. And not impress. Too much preaching going on today is for YouTube. It's theatrics. People don't care how good you sound and how good you can dance and how good you can hum and how good you can hoop and how good you can sing. All that's good and well, all that's for a moment, but at the end of the day, they want to know, is there a word for the Lord that can help me deal with these struggles today? Is there something that you can say in my life that will encourage my life today and help me make it not only through the day, but make me want to wake up in the morning and start a brand new day? Preacher, is there a word from the Lord. I came to encourage your hearts. Come to let you know that just as Habakkuk said, that there will be a praise after this, that there will be prosperity after this, that there will be progress after this, and there will be peace after this. And what I like about it, as I come to my close, Kills, he says, if you write the vision, you will have to wait for it to come to pass, but you won't have to wait long. You won't have to wait long. If you write the vision, if you're strong enough to claim it in the name of our God, if you let the people know that there will be progress, that there will be prosperity, there will be peace, if you plant it on their hearts and in their minds, the vision that you have placed in their hearts will come to pass. Yes, we got to wait. But if the people believe in the prophet of Jesus Christ, you will have to tarry, but you won't have to tarry long, because the people will begin to live out that vision. The people will begin to live out the word of God. The people will not let this moment in history pass. We have a moment, y'all. We have this country galvanized. We have America on its knees. We've got the government listening. We've got this temporary inhabitant of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue who now lives on Black Lives Matter Plaza. We got him in a bunker where God needs him to be. And we cannot let this moment pass. The protesting has got to continue. But coupled with the protesting is the prayer that God will bring this situation to pass. And all of God's children, all of God's children, all of God's children, all of God's children will gather around the throne and cry, holy, holy, holy to the Lamb that was slain from the foundations of the world. Habakkuk tells us today, write that vision. Call them up and tell them what you want. And if we call him up, tell him what we want and what we need, we have to trust in God that he will bring everything to pass. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end, it will speak. God, our Father, again, thank you for Habakkuk. Thank you for this word that you have given through your preacher to remind your people today that even though there's so much violence right now, there will be victory, God. If we encourage our people, if we teach our people, we uplift our people, we encourage the people to understand that there will be progress. Something good is about to come out of this. There are going to be some laws changed. There are going to be some hearts changed. There are going to be some relationships that change. There's going to be progress after this. There's going to be prosperity after this. Jobs are coming back. Relationships are coming back. Love is coming back. It was so good to hear George Floyd's family talk about love has returned. George has brought love into the streets of America, where people who would never hug one another, never talk to another but just because of George's passing, we're loving one another like never before. And then, God, we will have peace even in the midst of this pandemic, even in the midst of our despair, even in the midst of our anxiety and depression. You will bring about peace that surpasses all understanding. And God, you have promised us that if we write this vision and we make it plain, yes, we will have to tarry, but we won't have to wait long. Oh, but we know they that wait upon the Lord They shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not get weary. They shall walk and not faint. Give us the strength today to keep fighting the good fight of faith. We thank you now in Jesus' name we do pray. And all that believe would say amen.